Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to my beautiful planet Earth. I want to welcome you to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, I'm Darian Marshall, and I'm here today with a wonderful guest. Her name is Corinne Zupko, and she's author of this beautiful new book called From Anxiety to Love. That's From Anxiety to Love, A Radical New Approach for Letting Go of Fear and Finding Lasting Peace. So we're just going to get right into it, because, you know, years ago, the show used to be an hour, then we chopped it down to 45 minutes. Excuse me, now it's a half an hour. We figured that's plenty to get all the juicy details out. And so we're just going to get started. Welcome to the show, Corinne. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great, Darian. I'm really excited to be here with you today.
Oh, thanks for joining me. I know you're a busy lady.
to do.
And as I mentioned to you before, I'm sorry if I'm sounding a little slow today. I'm just recovering from a little minor surgery I had. A lot of you know I've been through some health issues, but I'm always doing well and bouncing back and just enjoying life and all of that stuff. So, your book, From Anxiety to Love, first of all, congratulations. I love the cover. It's so pretty.
Aw, thank you. I love the cover, too. They did a really nice job with it, and it has that, like, watercolor, nice textured kind of feel, very soothing, which is what the book is all about.
You know, and that's what I like about it. It's kind of artsy-craftsy looking, and it's like you're going to have a lot of fun on this exciting journey. Was that part of your thought of putting it together like this?
Yeah, well, you know, my publisher was the one that really did the brilliant job of really nailing the cover, but my whole message in the book is just really going from fear to love, from anxiety to love, from, you know, being down and out to being joyful and happy. And so
oh,
I do definitely
wonderful.
Want to convey that through everything about the book. I even feel like, you know, the cover sort of radiates that it's going to serve its purpose to help us return to the love that we are.
That's wonderful. And the funny thing is, it seems to be in your fiber, this whole thing about enjoying life and love and all that, because I looked up some of your information on YouTube. You have that same energy in everything that you're doing. How did you learn to love life like this? What happened?
That's a great question. So I've always been a rather upbeat, positive person, but I, like many of us, have really gone through times of pure hell, and I have had multiple psychiatric diagnoses in my life in the anxiety disorder realm. I had panic attacks. I had anxiety so bad there were times I couldn't get off the couch and I couldn't eat, and it was like really, really, really debilitating, but ultimately, I chose to look at anxiety as something that maybe could teach me. Maybe it could help me come to change my perception, to see things differently. And so it's always been something that I've tried to do in any given circumstance. Where can I join with love? Where can I see the love? Even when horrible things happen in the world, it's amazing to see afterwards how many people being called to do something good. You see the good come out in people, helping each other, reaching out to one another. So I've always gravitated to that perspective of really wanting to feed the good energy and nurture the good energy and bring out the good in other people rather than reinforcing, you know, our ego mind, which is what I call in the book, like the fearful thought system in our minds that we all have. It's been really my life practice to learn how to, instead of siding with that ego mind, to side with the mind of love that's within every single one of us, because I believe that has power to bring us together and to heal.
Fantastic. Now, you say that even though your anxiety journey was one of the most terrifying experiences you've had, it still taught you great things. How was that possible that it became your teacher?
Yeah, so this, again, was the sort of decision that I made that I want to let my anxiety help me wake up to love instead of keeping me in fear. So anxiety, in a way, I sort of allowed it to be repurposed. So rather than hating it, which I, believe me, I hated it for many, many years. It was a state that I wanted it to just go away. But what I realized was that that energy of trying to just push it away only fueled it. It only gave it, you know, life. And so instead, coming into the space of accepting that this is what was happening right now, I didn't have to like it, but I could acknowledge that this was part of my experience. That then sort of didn't fuel the anxiety, but gave me a chance to let that anxiety actually lead me to a place of peace. And what I mean by this is that the anxiety, pain is a great motivator. You know, it can really motivate us to try something different, to do different things. And so the anxiety brought me to a spiritual pathway called A Course in Miracles because I was willing to try anything to feel better. And previously, I was not interested in spirituality or anything that sounded remotely woo-woo. I wanted nothing to do with it. But I opened my mind that, okay, maybe there's something here that can help me. And because of that, because of the anxiety being such a great motivator, I look at it as having brought me to a place of learning that love is our true reality. Love is what we are. Fear is just something that we get caught in. We listen to that voice of fear, which always tells lies. It's just not who we are in truth. And so getting to step into learning the fact that, love is what we are, I look at the anxiety as having brought me to a place of peace. So I look at it as a positive thing. I actually, as painful as it was, I wouldn't actually trade it because it brought me to where I am today.
Very good. Now, speaking of, well, you said woo-woo. The Course in Miracles, exactly what is that? It sounds interesting.
So A Course in Miracles is a book, and it is a metaphysical, psycho-spiritual text that helps us work with our thoughts. It's profoundly spiritual as well because I believe, like many spiritual pathways, it's a pathway of complete awakening. The goal of A Course in Miracles is to help us expand our awareness again, to the love and the peace that we are right now, which we forget about when we think that we are these separate selves walking around, you know, in separate bodies. So the book is a self-study book, although many people find it helpful to study in groups because it's a challenging read. It can seem like it's another language when you first start diving into that, but it has a textbook in the first part of the book. The middle part, or the second part, I should say, is a workbook, which actually has lessons and meditations, like a lesson for every day of the year. So there's 365 lessons. And then the back of the book is a manual for teachers, which is written in more Q&A format. And I actually recommend, when people feel moved to pick up A Course in Miracles, I actually recommend that they begin with the manual for teachers because it's a much easier read than the text. So it's a book, and it's another spiritual pathway of the many that we have available to us.
Oh, so it's like three books together. Because, you know, I saw the book. It's so big. It kind of scared me a little bit because it's so large. So it's three put together. I see how that is. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep, three parts.
That's really interesting. So, well, what was the biggest lesson that you've learned through your journey with this anxiety?
You know, I would say the biggest lesson that I've learned through this journey is that the anxiety is not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is not who we are. We are, I believe, eternal light, love, peace, and joy, and that we've forgotten that. We have this great amnesia, so to speak. That's what A Course in Miracles calls it, where we have forgotten that and are preoccupied instead with our small sense of self. So the greatest lesson that I've learned from anxiety is that it's not who I am, and fear is not who we are. We're something way more awesome than what we think we are.
Wonderful. Hey, I'm speaking with Corinne Zupko, and she's the author of the book From Anxiety to Love, A Radical New Approach for Letting Go of Fear and Finding Lasting Peace. Now, you say that inner peace is not an event. It's a process. Can you explain to us what that actually is? I say
absolutely.
Us, those of us who are listening.
So it can be so tempting that when we are on a spiritual path or on a pathway of self-development, personal development, it's so tempting that the moment that we start struggling again, that we think, oh, I'm not doing it right, I'm not where I should be, I should be further along, I'm no good, you know, we go into that fear voice, we go into that ego thought system. And instead, thinking about inner peace as a process is like thinking about all the different layers of an onion. If you think about an onion and how, you know, it has many layers, you can actually imagine that love is at the center of this onion, and the layers of the onion are like layers of fear. And so as we do the work of self-healing, it's like we are peeling back these layers of fear, get you to expand our awareness to the fact that love is already there. And when I'm talking about love, I'm talking about capital L love, like the love of the universe, a divine love that unites us all. And so it's a process that we have to trust that we are on. It's not like we just get peaceful and then stay that way forever. That's not been my experience, and I don't think it's the experience of most people. It's a journey. It's a journey like any other journey.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because a lot of times we do. I've been through that myself, where I feel like I'm doing well for a while, and then I'll make a mistake or get angry over something. Excuse me. And then I feel like, wow, I wasted my time. You know, look at you. You got angry again. You got ticked off. You know, you're human, but then I would beat myself up. So I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, we all have that reaction. I definitely had that reaction at times too. And that's where the process of just allowing ourselves to be where we are. I'm constantly sharing. I teach a Sunday night Course in Miracles study group over the phone, and I'm constantly bringing up, because I need to hear it, that we need to allow ourselves to be where we are. And this being on a spiritual path does not mean that we do not feel our feelings. We need to feel our feelings. If we're mad, be mad.
Right.
And allow yourself to go through that process and to be a happy learner, because we are, I believe also that we're learning lessons here, and this is all, you know, always an opportunity to grow.
Yes, indeed. You know, it's funny, as you're talking, I'm thinking of moments. I used to belong to a little group, inspired group, and we, you know, doing positive things and things like that. And that was a bit of, it was almost like a stain to me that went out throughout the group. You couldn't be real about how you honestly felt. Now, of course, you don't stay in your, you know, wallow in your pity, but, you know, I would see people, and you know they went through something scary or whatever, and you ask them how they were doing. Oh, I'm fine. Everything's perfect. But then later on, they would just blow up and just go off, you know.
Yeah.
Because they weren't honest from the beginning of how they really felt.
Right, right. That's so true and so important for us to keep in mind, because we can, if we're telling ourselves intellectually, oh, I'm fine, but we're feeling the feelings, just like you explained, we become like pressure cookers, and then we explode. Instead, being real and authentic and honest, one of the things that I talk about in my book is the importance of radical honesty, of really being so honest with how we're feeling and what we're thinking. And rather than being that Pollyanna, like, oh, everything's great, everything's fine, when we have even a negative, socially unacceptable thought, rather than dismissing that thought, rather than like trying to just fix it or deny that it was there, the process that I talk about in the book, the healing process, is about bringing that negative thought to the love, bringing that negative thought to the light, to what I call your inner therapist, the part of our mind that remembers the love. So as we bring this negative thought or these difficult feelings or whatever it is that we're going through, we can exchange what we get back, you know, and we give that over. What we get back is a miracle. As the Course in Miracles defines it, that's a shift in perception from fear to love, or an expression of love. We now feel, you know, the love within us, and maybe see and connect with the love in other people. So that's, I talk about that a lot, that importance of honesty, and I'm really glad that you brought that. Because not about being Pollyanna.
I can listen to you all day. This is great. You mentioned inner therapist. Now, what is that? Do we all have that, the inner therapist?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And it's called many different things. I call it your inner therapist because my book is about anxiety and this is about healing, but the inner therapist, you can think about this in many different ways.
Yes.
You might call it your inner guidance system. Some might be comfortable with the wise mind or intuition.
Yes.
Or A Course in Miracles calls it Holy Spirit. So you can, again, conceptualize this in whatever way you want.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part of our mind where our remembrance of divine love abides. It's the part of our mind that knows our truth and knows how we're connected and you know, that we are literally made of love. So it's this part of our mind that we have to start to listen to and tune into and trust as we are healing in our journey.
You know, and that's what I really like about your teaching. It's like you're giving us the freedom to sort of get our lives together. You think about it as, I don't know, normally it would feel like work. Okay, you got to get yourself together. But I'm listening to you talk, it's more like a freedom, like you're like letting yourself go and allowing all this goodness to come to you. I mean, that's pretty good.
Really good. That does sound good, and I'm so glad that that's coming through, because although, you know, we can definitely get tripped up with thinking, oh, I have so many things to fix. Like, you know, like I have so many fear thoughts or so much anxiety, and it can feel like it's never ending. But you're picking up on something so important that if you think about it, fear cannot exist in perfect love. Anxiety cannot exist in perfect love. So as we remember perfect love and the love that we are made of, that fear, that anxiety, our issues have to fall away. They fall away with a sense of ease rather than like, oh, I got to fix this, rather than,
right,
oh, I got to work. So I love that you brought this up, because that's very true. And at the same time, some of us might find it helpful to have some work, to have some action steps, to have some ways of journaling or meditating to, you know, work on our healing. And so I do share a lot of tools like that in my book, and there were times when I felt like I had to get to work, but it's with the ultimate goal of recognizing that there is just this inner freedom and that the issues fall away when we're ready to let them go. There's a sense of ease there.
I have a neighbor, sweetest person on the planet, but she doesn't believe in God at all. I mean, she has nothing, there's nothing remotely spiritual, you know, about her, whatever. Is she a lost cause? Can she still benefit from the inner therapist? I don't know, in her business, but, I wonder about people like that. Yeah,
that's a great question. You know, absolutely, she can still benefit. And this is where, in semantics and in language and words, I've had some conversations with atheists, and it's fascinating to see how much more we have in common than you would initially think, because they might not resonate with this idea of this, you know, being that we, or this force or energy that we can't see, but they believe in love. They believe in kindness and in good and in their instincts, in their, you know, their intuition, their wise mind. So if we tweak the language to talk about, you know, instead of, maybe even instead of inner therapist, or obviously instead of Holy Spirit, thinking about your wise mind, your right mind, your higher self, or just your gut instinct, your intuition, you can learn to rely and really tune into that instinct, that wise mind or that intuition, and use that in the same exact way that I'm talking about in the book. So if you believe in love, that's all you need.
Yes. We are talking about this new book, From Anxiety to Love, and my guest is Corinne Zepko. And I wanted to ask you, in one of the sections of your book, it's called Down the Ego Rabbit Hole. Now, how do you define the ego? I hear it a lot, just kind of tossed around. Exactly what is the ego?
Great question. So if we have a wise mind or an inner therapist or a loving, you know, thought system within our mind, you can also think about, well, we can easily think about all that is not love in our world and in our lives and even in our thoughts, right? Like we can be the harshest critics to ourselves and dish out the worst judgments to ourselves. this fearful thought system, this judgmental negative thought system that is playing out in the world every day is the ego thought system. That's how I define it. That's how A Course in Miracles defines it. And this is the thought system that tries to utterly convince us of our separation from one another. It tries to utterly convince us that don't bother believing in love. You know, there's no good in that person.
Right.
And again, this practice, this process of what I teach in my book and what A Course in Miracles teaches with miracle working is all about, instead of listening to that screeching and loud ego thought system in our minds, we can choose in any given moment to say, hey, you know, I want a miracle. I want to shift from the ego thought system to the thought system of my inner therapist. You know, I want a miracle instead. And it becomes this moment-to-moment practice, really, of choosing again and again for listening to this voice of love instead of fear.
How can someone who is new to this type of work begin to distinguish between the voice of the ego and the voice of the, what you call the inner therapist?
Great question. So the voice of the ego, again, we know that well. It is any judgmental thought we have, fearful thought we have about ourselves or about other people. And so we know that, right? And it's usually pretty loud and it's pretty convincing. The thought system of our, you know, our loving thought system, the inner therapist thought system, is always there, but it's much quieter. We have to slow down and maybe leave some space in order to sense it. And when I say that it's a voice, I don't mean that it necessarily shows up as words. It can be a feeling. It can just be a feeling in your body of just knowing something or feeling that resonance, you know, of love or of joy. And so we have to start to distinguish, is this that harsh, judgmental voice of the ego, or is this that softer voice of the inner therapist? One of the great tips that I like to share that I talk about in my book, and this comes from another spiritual teacher by the name of John Mark Stroud, you can ask your inner therapist in meditation to direct your attention to the place in your body where you can most easily attune to guidance. For many people, that might be in their gut or their core or their chest. I've known Reiki practitioners to feel that come through their hands. So for all of us, it's going to be different, and that can just be a practice where we just ask the universe, you know, help me direct my attention to a place in my body where I can most easily attune to you. Typically, the ego is coming through our heads in our thoughts, but that guidance is usually coming through in a different place. For me, it's my heart.
Very, very good. You really know your work. I'm just enjoying this. Now, before we go on, then can you give me the name of your website?
Absolutely. Yes. It's the same name as my book. So it's FromAnxietyToLove.com.
Oh, terrific. It's a beautiful website, by the way. There are photos of you meditating. So how does meditation play in this? I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
Yes, it is. I have meditations all throughout the book, and I actually am just releasing the From Anxiety to Love meditation album. So the meditations in the book are set to music. They're beautiful. And with meditation, so if you think about it this way.
Yes.
If we're constantly asking for a miracle, if we're saying to the universe or to our inner therapist, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. We're not leaving any space for us to become aware of the answer. So meditation, whether it lasts for a minute or 10 minutes or more, can be so helpful in beginning to create an open space in your mind to let that guidance, to let that answer, to let that love come in. And this doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to have a quiet mind. I will tell you that majority of the time when I sit to meditate, I can think of 1,000 things in a minute. My mind will just wander.
Yes.
That's that monkey mind, and we all have it. But what we can do without judgment is to notice when it has wandered, when our mind has wandered, and simply choose to come back to our anchor, which maybe is our breath, or maybe it's just sound, or maybe it's just, maybe we're just focusing on a feeling of love in our hearts. And so it's a practice because we literally practice moment to moment bringing our wandering attention back again and again and again. And that actually is strengthening new neural circuits in our brain. It's actually creating new neural circuits in addition to strengthening them. There's a lot of science behind this as well, showing the benefits of meditation and mindfulness. So even doing this for a minute or 5 minutes can be so incredibly helpful.
Oh, I see. So if the person is, let's say we're talking about meditation and they're relaxed and they're breathing in and out, then all of a sudden they realize, I need to pick up apples when I go out to the market, or I didn't paint the garage, or stuff like that. How do you get back on track once your mind starts drifting off like that?
Great question. So you can literally say to yourself, thought, you know, that was just a thought. You can actually label it. And the moment you notice that your mind has drifted, you can just say, oh, it might be as simple as there I go again. And then you just choose to bring your attention back, maybe to your breathing or maybe to your heart center. You have to decide, for me at least, I decide ahead of time what my one anchor of my meditation is going to be. It might be my breath. It might be just listening to sound around, especially if I have the window open.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a anchor of just awareness of love in my heart. And so every time we notice our mind drift, like apples, there I go, and I'm going to redirect my attention back to my breath. And we might have to do that 100 times a minute, and that's why we call this a practice.
Wow. And it's, again, it's so simple the way you explain it. It's like, I'm ready to do it. You know what I mean?
Yay.
Oh, God, I do this work. I got to get up and do, you know, I really like the way you're doing this. Now, you offer a simple 3-step recipe for healing in the book. Could you share that with us?
Absolutely. So I've actually touched on this already.
Mm-hmm.
The first step is to find our willingness to see our issue, whatever our issue is, to see it differently. That willingness is everything. It's the precursor for change. So we have to be willing to let a shift in. That means if we're being stubborn and we don't want to be willing, owning it and being honest about it, and then maybe asking yourself, well, am I willing to be willing? And usually the answer is yes to that. So there, you found your willingness. Step number two. So step one, find your willingness. Step number two, give your willingness to see your issue differently to your inner therapist, to the universe, to your wise mind, to your angel, whatever you want to call it. Give it over and ask for that miracle instead. Ask for that shift in perception from fear to love, that expression of love instead. And then the third step is to trust. The moment, A Course in Miracles teaches that the moment that we ask, the answer is given. However, if you remember those layers of the onion, we might be too blocked to receive the answer. We might still have a lot of fear in our minds, and comes our task to trust that we'll hear the answer, we'll sense the answer when we're ready. And this is where trust is where sometimes it can be so helpful to do meditation, to get quiet, to just create that stillness, because oftentimes that's when that shift can come in. For instance, Nobel laureates, many of them reported having their big ideas come to them in the stillness of the night. A lot can come in when we're quiet. So those are the three steps.
Very good. You know, I'm just so amazed at how what you're teaching today, excuse me, my throat is all clogged up tonight, today. What you're teaching us tonight is really some deep, powerful stuff, but you do it in such an easy, breezy way about it.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm not just blowing smoke in your face. I mean, you really make these teachings so much easier to follow, and I'm really encouraged. I can't wait to play this back so I can get some more of this information. This is really, really nice. I have another question written down for you specifically, and I somehow misplaced my little piece of paper here. Well, anyway, we'll get back to what we were doing.
Well, I can say, if I can just speak to what you said about this seeming to be easy. What I'm sharing, I live this. Like, I live and breathe this and have come through having had multiple anxiety disorder diagnoses to living now anxiety-free. So everything that I talk about in the book, everything that I'm sharing now, This is like my operating system. This is how I interact with the world now because it's been so helpful to me. And so your feedback is so appreciated, and I just take it into my heart and thank you so much. And others have reflected, too, that for folks who are already familiar with A Course in Miracles,
mm-hmm.
the book has helped them go deeper. And for folks who are brand new, it's been, you know, it's been explained in the book in a way that's easy to digest, which was my goal. And I'm so grateful for that feedback because I really want to help. I want to be truly helpful and make this accessible for anybody who feels moved to study it.
Wow, you are doing it, though. You know, it's just so exciting when I think of, excuse me in this throat. you know, I think of all the different teachers that are coming about now who are just showing up and doing the work. And because I used to wonder years ago when I started reading these types of books and things, and I thought of people like Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer and how they're dying off. And I used to worry, like, wow, who's going to be bringing us this wonderful information now? But we have people like you and all of these new people who are just showing up. It's just wonderful. It really, really is.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, my goodness, we are down to the last minute. Growing up, did you ever think you would be doing this type of work? Or
oh, no.
that was the question I meant to ask earlier. I think.
No, not at all. If you would have told me that I'd be doing this now, I would have been like, you know, there's no way.
Right.
I had no idea that this is the way that I would be, you know, led. And honestly, I did not even set out to be an author or like, oh, you know, there was never a thought of like, oh, I want to be a spiritual teacher. I was transformed through this work, and I had no choice but to write the book. It had to come out of me.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I really had no idea that this would be the case.
That's amazing. See, you know for sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I'm really, really happy for you, and I'm proud of you. And I mean, I thank you so much for coming on this show. I'm sorry our party was so fast.
But, it was awesome. I thank you so much, Darian.
Thank you. That's usually a sign of a wonderful show when it goes by quick like that. So that's awesome. Me in this throat, I got to get me some tea. But I want to thank you for joining me today. And for those of you who are listening, thank you for joining me for It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And my guest today, once again, was Corinne Zupko. And she's author of this beautiful new book called From Anxiety to Love, A Radical New Approach for Letting Go of Fear and Finding Lasting Peace. And once again, your website, Corinne, is
FromAnxietyToLove.com.
There you go. Great. So I look forward to being with you guys next week for another show, and so it is.